America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hey, a reminder, it is a Texans Ticket Tuesday. You want to be at that Lions game on Sunday? Front row, bullpen, I believe are the seats, right? We're giving away those tickets at the end of this segment or sometime during this segment. So be listening. We do the power ranking of the power rankings every week. Texans Ticket Tuesday as well. So busy segment here. If you haven't heard the news, Za'Darius Smith traded to the Detroit Lions from the Cleveland Browns. Boy, Za'Darius Smith has to be fired up that this is the week he's getting traded to the Lions. Like, are you telling me I'm getting traded to the team is facing off against the offensive line that gave up 8 sacks on Thursday Night Football? I'm going to eat so much.
You know what? And it's good to bounce back to something we talked about earlier. Because the pass protection has been so shoddy, CJ's starting to show some of the effects of it. I think CJ, who's been very good at stepping up in the pocket, that's been good at the little micro movements to kind of move around the pocket without scrambling or busting out, he's starting to lose a little bit of that because he can't trust the protection. So I think it was the Hassan Reddick sack. The Hassan Reddick sack happened at like 10 yards behind the line of scrimmage, where Tunsil did a good enough job of running Hassan Reddick around, but because CJ wasn't comfortable stepping up, he drifted back in the pocket. Mm-hmm. And those are the kinds of sacks that defensive ends get, where they're not even necessarily like quote unquote winning the pass rush, but they get pushed right into the quarterback by the offensive tackle who's doing the right thing. That's where it's not like all of a sudden Titus Howard and Laremy Tunsil have still been fine as pass protectors. Laremy Tunsil's still a very good pass protector. So it's the sum total of going against a team where the offensive the pass protection is so bad on the interior that it's starting to screw everything up for everybody.
Yep. All right. I had two predictions in the power rankings this week. Power rankings all come out on Tuesday. We use 4 of them: SI.com, CBSSports.com, ESPN.com, and The Athletic. Those are the 4 we use. We power rank those outlets in how we feel they power rank the Texans. I had two predictions before the power rankings dropped this morning that I think I said on air. I know I said at some point during the day today. I thought the Lions would be number one in at least 2 of the 4, despite not being undefeated like the Chiefs. And I thought that the Texans would fall out of the top 10 in all of them. I will tell you, the first prediction, accurate. 2 of the 4, the Lions are now the number one team. SI.com and The Athletic. In the other 2, the Lions are number 2. So the Texans, depending on who you talk to, Seth, are facing either the best team in football or the best team in the NFC as of right now, this weekend at NRG Stadium. They're a 3-point underdog right now.
When you look at the teams that are at the top right now, of all the teams that are most impressive, just if you look at the combined package of offense and defense, You know, the Chiefs have been a tepid offense, but a really good defense. The Ravens have been an awesome offense, but just with a non-Ravens-like defense. Buffalo Bills, a little bit of grab bag of both, but a very good football team. The Lions are the only team that, by DVOA, are top four in both offense and defense.
They're elite.
They're firing on all cylinders. Yeah. The defense, even without Aiden Hutchinson, has been doing very well, but they've had to blitz more than I think Aaron Glenn really wants to. So now this puts Aaron Glenn, who's already been operating well without Aiden Hutchinson, now back with at least an Aiden Hutchinson type presence, where you can expect to get a better pass rush out of four guys without having to blitz.
Yeah, someone who can win one-on-one matchups, you know, like someone who can, you know, you can rush four with Za'Darius Smith as your top defensive end. All right, so that we know this, the Texans are playing a really, really good football team on Sunday. They're going to have to fix a lot of stuff in a short amount of time, and they're going to need to get healthy if they're going to have a good chance at winning this game. So how do the experts view the Texans? I'm going to put SI.com at number 4 on the power rankings of the power rankings. They have the Texans 12th right now. And they historically rank the Texans the lowest. I'm surprised they're not lower, because SI.com is the one outlet that has, probably now looking back at it accurately, been putting the Texans closer to like 8 or 9, as opposed to some of these that have had them up at 3 or 4 at some point. I don't think they've ever played like the 3rd or 4th best team in football all season long.
You know? I think that at any point, that's where I just, man, when some of the people that put together the power rankings, they're not watching the Texans all that much because they haven't, right? They haven't been. They will now. They haven't been at
weeks.
That spot where, there hasn't been a, am I missing a performance where I felt like, oh yeah, that's a team that can push for a Super Bowl?
Do we count beating the Patriots by 20? I don't know.
Because even that game, really wasn't. It wasn't a physical bludgeoning. No. There were some just twists of fate in that game that led to it being lopsided.
Their other 5 wins are all last second wins. I was thinking about that the other day, Seth. Like, how many times as I'm watching all these football games, and you know, half of them are 1-score games, half of them are either blowouts or comfortably ahead with 3 or 4 minutes to go. Like, how many times do we get to watch C.J. Stroud just standing, joking on the sidelines with D'Amico Ryans, like, with 5 minutes left in a game? Like, it's very rare, you know?
Yeah, like a pull your starter for all the right reasons, like,
the two of them, or even with the defense out there, like, the two of them are just chopping. Like, I don't need to go watch the tablet right now. We're up by 21. I know what we're doing. We're going to go in and hand the ball off and grind this clock out. Like, it's very rare that it happens.
I want to be able to come in on a Monday and say, like, hey, listen, don't let the box score fool you. I know the Lions had 400 yards of offense, but most of that was after they were already down by 21.
Yeah, that would be something.
Can I have to explain that the Texans were actually better than
the
box score suggests?
Oh, yeah. That would be beautiful. Here's what SI.com says about the Texans. The Texans follow up a loss to the Jets with a game against the Lions, and while Detroit will have its hiccup weeks and could very well simply not show up for the game, we're looking at a Texans team that could face some real attrition after the fairy tale end of their all-world rookie season in 2023. Wow. Whew. That's a wallop right there, man.
Looking at a Texans team that could face some real attrition.
Yeah, attrition.
So
means
what are they,
like,
losing? They almost say, like, at the end, they're going to blow it all up at the end of the year?
Yes, I don't know.
Who are they going to lose?
Yeah.
Who are they losing this year?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's the topic that they're using here on SI.com is, like, what does this mean for the offseason kind of thing?
Yeah.
I don't, like, who would be leaving? They've got all the guys they have, for the most part, are on rookie contracts. Or they're guys that they signed to multi-year deals, you know? So I don't know what that's all about.
Attrition suggests longer and over a drawn-out period. So, like, over the second half of the season, I guess. The attrition's already occurred if this is what they remain.
Yeah.
So they're not living up to expectations. They're not living up to all the offseason hype. Bobby Slowik is probably going to take, unless they figure it out in the second half of the season, Bobby Slowik's probably going to get fewer interviews this year for a head coaching job than last year, unless they figure it out.
Number 3 on the power ranking of the power rankings, theathletic.com, who also has the Texans at number 12. And their category for their power rankings this week is something nice for each of the 32 teams. The something nice for the Texans, Seth? Will Anderson Jr.'s sophomore season. Anderson was named defensive player of the month after registering 5 sacks in October. He already has topped last season's sack total, and he was the defensive rookie of the year last year. His 7.5 sacks are tied for 4th in the league. He's 20th in defensive splash plays, according to True Media. So I don't know what constitutes a splash play. I'm sure TFLs are factored into that, things like that.
Well, that is one thing. That is one area where you talk about making plays behind the line of scrimmage. Will, going into last week's game, was one of the league leaders in tackles for a loss.
Yes.
So it's the combo of being a run and pass player that's really cool for, you know, as opposed to a lot of guys that are more just pure pass rushers. Will does it both. And it's really, I mean, he's in a Steph Curry type situation where he's just a very talented young player, but he's got ankle issues that keep popping up. And I know the one in the game was one where you could see a lot of guys getting an ankle injury there. But once you've got a history of ankle injuries, you're definitely going to get an ankle injury there compared to other guys that might get a little mild sprain or something.
Yep.
But it just, yeah. The last few weeks especially, I mean, this is why he was the defensive player of the month in October. Everything looked like it clicked. Everything he'd been working on in the offseason that hadn't really shown up, some of his, you know, his new polish and his new moves and all that, it hadn't really shown up in the early part of the season. He was still playing well enough, but over the last several weeks, it's just clicked for him.
No
so
doubt.
Just for his own sake, I think he's got a chance to be a league leader in sacks this year if he can just stay healthy.
All right, number two, power ranking of the power ranking, CBSSports.com also has the Texans 12th. And this is what Pete Prisco says. It's hard to win in this league when you can't protect your quarterback. Their line is a mess, and C.J. Stroud is struggling because of it.
Yeah, the line is a mess, but it's gradually turned into more just, it's easier to focus in on the left guard position. That's the real mess. I wish that Shaq Mason and Tytus Howard were moving better than they are. There's times where they don't make blocks where it looks like they just can't get to it. So they're not looking all that hot physically. But Tytus Howard has been fine enough as a right tackle on the sum total of things. Shaq Mason is still a viable NFL player. I think Juice Scruggs, I'm optimistic about his development. But the left guard position has just been a huge black hole. And it ripples out to everybody else, including C.J. Stroud, because they're having to compensate for that really, really bad play at left guard as much as they have.
Well, we know there will be change there because Kenyon Green is injured. We've had no update yet from the team. I've not seen anything where they put Kenyon Green on IR or anything like that. But I'm just going off of reports.
You know what we haven't talked about really, or what we haven't touched on is, oh yeah, it was the injuries with Kenyon Green that really made it look like he might never be able to play in the NFL because he couldn't stay healthy.
Right.
So, I mean, that's a whole nother subplot to it. I think most people right now listening, that ship has sailed, the Kenyon Green ship. But, I mean, yeah, add that. It's not just his play while he was in there this year. It's yet another injury.
Yes.
So he's already missed an entire season, not even due to one specific injury, but because he was so banged up that now this is one more thing.
Yep. All right, last one. Number one, power ranking of the power rankings, ESPN.com, who has the Texans all the way up at number 11. 11th, it says this, DJ Bienname types, the Texans' 2023 season started and ended against the Ravens. This matchup, it talks about the most important game remaining for each team. DJ says the Ravens game. He says this matchup comes after they play the Chiefs the previous Saturday. This will be a good test to see where they stack against the best teams in the AFC before the playoffs. Since the Texans are on track to win the division after sweeping the Colts, their matchup against the Ravens could determine who earns the number one seed in the conference. Yeah, I don't know about that. The Texans are 3 games back of the Chiefs right now. You know, I think the ship may have sailed on the Texans are 3 games behind the Chiefs, with games against the Lions, Chiefs, and Ravens still on the schedule.
And we talked about this at the beginning of the show. You know, do a little experiment. And okay, if you could somehow just drop in after having been in a coma the last 5 years and say, okay, this Chiefs team, look at them, look at the way they're winning these games, and is this definitively one of the best teams in the league? I don't think you say yes unless you take into account how good they are in the playoffs.
I agree. I mean,
last night, they win in overtime.
Against the Bucks. The Bucks who got smoked at home
without
by the Ravens.
The Bucks without Mike Evans or Chris Godwin.
Yeah.
And yet, it's impossible to ignore right. what they've done in the playoffs. And it's impossible to ignore, I think, the fashion in which Kansas City won that game last night in a very non-classic Andy Reid type of fashion was that they just pounded the rock.
Yeah.
They just ran and ran and ran, and they grinded clock. That they just they had these long, sustained drives fueled by the run game. They used now DeAndre Hopkins getting two touchdowns in that game last night. Like that makes you look at him a little bit differently.
Yeah, and Travis Kelce in almost an extended run game. He had 14 catches for 100 yards. Like every catch was five or six yards right around the line of scrimmage. So, yeah, it's a good point, man. We've got that audio, Seth, that you talked about in the previous segment. We were talking about like how good a job is the Saints' job. How good a job would the Bears' job be if they fired Eberflus? And you brought up a really good point about the Game of Thrones that could go on behind the scenes with a guy like Ryan Poles.
And this is so Ryan Poles is the GM of the Bears. And the reason that Sean and I have like steadily grown to despise Ryan Poles is that this is why, for me at least, Sean, I have seen so much praise heaped on him for making all these moves while tanking. And he's like being propped up by the media, like, wow, look at what a brilliant guy this is. Yeah, the team sucks, but look at all the good and smart moves he's making. Yeah. And I'm just like, all right, well, listen, man, Jeff Luhnow didn't get this treatment.
No.
You know, various other guys. And Nick Caserio didn't get this treatment as, you know, you were going through the run. Why is it that Ryan Poles is just so gushed over by all of these national media types? And it's because he's really good at playing the media game.
Really
good. He invites guys into his office to see how the sausage is made, all of this. So John Yurkovich, a guy who was a teammate, taught me a lot about how to play in the NFL when I was a rookie. He was a veteran player my rookie year. It sounds like Yurko's been a little skeptical of Ryan Poles for a while.
They are who they are. Right now, they're a very mediocre football team at 4-4. They're a very mediocre football team with very mediocre talent. And they've got mediocre talent specifically at the most important position in the league. Now, somebody might say it's not fair because the offensive line stinks and your general manager has got a grotesque inability to understand what offensive line talent looks like. And if that's what you wanted to surmise and that's something final that you want to put down on the table, feel free to go ahead and put that on the table. He does not know what an offensive lineman is, a quality one. He wasn't one when he tried to break in the league, and he doesn't know what a quality offensive lineman looks like. So all we get is replications of him. Mediocrity. Crap. And it's unfortunate.
Was that on the radio?
I gotta up my game. Yeah, that was on the radio. He was just, somebody had recorded it, so that's why the audio was bad. I didn't go back.
I was just wondering if that was like something he said, like on a podcast or on YouTube.
No, that was it. Looked like it was on the radio.
Yeah.
Like they picked it up off the stream.
Yurko's awesome, man.
Yeah, Yurko, boy, that was good. You know, the one thing Yurko has, aside from being very funny and very bright, is he's got that really distinct Chicago accent.
Yeah, dude. As I was a listener of his when I lived in Chicago, I felt like I wanted to go buy an Italian beef sandwich as I'm driving down the road listening to his voice, man. Like he
could be on an SNL skit with George Wendt.
100%. Yeah, no, he'd fit right in. Let's give away those Texans tickets. Speaking of the Lions and the Texans on Sunday, the NFC's best team is headed here. Primetime showdown, Sunday Night Football, and you can be sitting in the front row. For Lions Texans. How about that? In the bullpen. 713-572-4610. Caller number 5 is going to win a pair of tickets in the bullpen for Lions Texans. If you miss out, two more chances to win. Just make sure you're listening in the noon and 5 o'clock hours for your cue to call. It's a Texans Ticket Tuesday for your home for the Texans, Sports Radio 610. Let's take a look ahead at the Lions here. D'Amico Ryans talked about that Lions culture yesterday. And we'll take our first, really D'Amico Ryans' first look at the Detroit Lions from yesterday. We'll do that coming up next.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, let's start digging in through the eyes of D'Amico Ryans on the Detroit Lions. If you missed it, power ranking of the power rankings in the previous segment, the four that we used for that segment, two of the four had the Lions at number one, best team in football. The other two had the Lions at number two. This is a really good football team coming into town for Sunday Night Football. Here's D'Amico Ryans, asked about the Lions culture.
As seeing Detroit the past couple of years, I think you see the culture, you see the energy that Coach Campbell has brought to that team, right? You see the mindset, the toughness, physicality, right? Their style of play, it shows up on tape, you know, every week. So, and they got really good players as well across the board. They're able to add a lot of good players, a lot of good young players that are exhibiting, right, that mindset and that culture. And it's a really good team coming in here this week, and we're very excited about the matchup.
Let me give you something here, Seth, that I learned yesterday about the Lions that makes me concerned.
Okay.
Maybe not for this game, but certainly for the following game. And here's why. I'll explain myself. I for this game, too. But remember that thing that San Francisco had going on, D'Amico's last year there, where the following week, every team that the 49ers played lost their next game?
Yes,
There was one exception, and I think it was the Chiefs who had a bye week the week after.
Right. The Chiefs won their next game, but they couldn't play the next week. So there wasn't a single team all season that had won their next game.
The teams that actually had a game the week after the Niners during the regular season were like 0-15 that year. Because of the swarm mentality with those guys playing defense in San Francisco.
Well, and the offense, too.
Yeah.
You know, like the San Francisco offense,
yes,
like they run their offense the way Bobby Slowick in his mind wants to run it, where they just physically mash people in the run game.
Yep.
But, yeah, the physicality level overall is very high on San Francisco, or at least used to be.
Tennessee last week won in overtime against the Patriots. They are the first Lions opponent this season to win their game the week after playing the Lions.
No kidding.
And
okay,
it was overtime at home against one of the worst teams in football. Like, they needed every ounce of everything to beat the New England Now, granted, the Titans are no great shakes either. But you see my point. Like, the vision that D'Amico has for what this team should be and what the team was he was with in San Francisco, that's what's coming to town on Sunday, people.
And this is where we really, you know, we might have to start in on Five Reasons I Hate You early this week, because I've had a hard time. As I've noticed, as we face the NFC North, I don't have a lot of hatred in my heart for any of these cities and or the small metro region areas like Green Bay. Not quite a city, but kind of a city.
It's a hamlet. It's a hamlet.
Is it a hamlet?
I don't know. Yeah.
The Lions especially. I mean, for one, look, I'm a honorary Aggie, and you got a huge Aggie theme between Dan Campbell and Aaron Glenn. Aaron Glenn's a defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Dan Campbell has gone from a mockery in his opening press conference to now everything that he did in his opening press conference, he's done so well that you're like, hell yeah. Yeah, that's the guy I want for my head football coach.
Right.
Look at that passion. Look at that emotion.
Yeah.
Jared Goff is a reclamation story that, you know, he'd basically been left for dead, whatever. Yeah, we'll get rid of him in L.A., and he's turned himself into much, much more. And then Aaron Glenn, the double whammy with Aaron Glenn is that he was a teammate of mine, and was one of the guys of all my teammates that I've had, he's one of the guys I respected the most.
Yeah.
He just does. He was one of those guys. He's an old soul. Like when he was 28 years old, it was like, it might as well have been your great uncle giving you advice.
Yeah.
He's basically my age, but just very, very wise beyond his years.
That'll be really interesting with the Lions, not to get too far outside of the realm of the Texans and the Lions, but as long as you're bringing that up, like the one thing you can say about Dan Campbell, he's hired really well as far as coordinators go. Like Ben Johnson is the top candidate for offensive coordinators right now and has been for a couple of years to become a head coach. And Aaron Glenn, similarly, if his defense keeps playing like it is, he will once again be a candidate for jobs. It'll be interesting down the road if those two guys leave the same way Gannon and Steichen left in Philadelphia, and yet kind of a you kind of like a culture guy at the top who's more of a CEO. You got to hire well. You got to keep hiring.
No, and I think that's the whole. I think with Campbell is one of those guys which really drives home the point that, man, when you're hiring a head coach in the NFL, yes, it's great if he's also a great offensive coordinator and or defensive coordinator. But first and foremost, the job is head coach. And I think Campbell is not, he's not the offensive mastermind there. He's not the play caller. You know, he played tight end, but he's not, that's not who he is. He is a culture guy and a guy that needs to coach his coaches and do all of those other things. And I think he's done a great job of it so far. Oh, damn it. Mark Brunell's their quarterback's coach too.
Is he really? Are we going to be able to find does it need to be five reasons Sean hates the Lions this Friday?
No. That would be I can't let our listeners down that way. It needs to be.
We'll find five. It's a big team. It's a big organization. And by the way, if we need to, we haven't had to do that this much this year, but if we need to, we'll dip into Detroit as a city too. You know, like we haven't had to do that very much. Remember last year when we were struggling to find reasons, we would just look up silly laws that some of the cities had and use that as reason number five?
Yeah, well, a lot of the divisional opponents, we start to like, all right, we've already covered all these reasons that we hate, and we got to dig into the, I mean, Tennessee, this is actually just, it's almost one of the items on my platform that, like, Tennessee's laws being so permissive of first cousin marriage, like, I can't let that go, But as far as I know, Michigan's not that way.
No, and devouring roadkill. You're allowed to peel your
road. Another reason to make it hard to hate the Lions, Sean?
Yeah.
You know who they're
offensive line? Are we doing five reasons I can't hate you?
Five reasons I can't hate you, but soon will, okay?
Okay.
Hank, their offensive line coach, do you remember Honey Bun? Hank Fraley, the center from the Eagles from back in the day?
Oh, yeah, vaguely.
He's their lovable offensive line coach, is Hank freaking Fraley.
Dude, they sound like they've got a great, great thing going inside the building over there.
They got a former bad body, try hard guy, offensive line, played a long time in the NFL, like without having any of the measurables.
Okay.
He's their offensive line coach.
So he
and
was.
They, by the way, their offensive line, very, very good.
Incredibly good. Yeah. Well, that's. It's funny you say that. Like when I think of that D'Amico thing of. The San Francisco thing of their opponents losing every week the following week during that 2022 season, I always just think of the defensive side of it. But you're absolutely right. Like this is a Lions offensive line that loves to maul people. You know.
Yeah. Oh, and Penei Sewell is everything that an Instagram OT is not. Penei Sewell as an offensive tackle just does some freakish things on.
Really? There is that because when Penei Sewell got paid in the offseason, one of the very first tweets I saw. Was from Laramie Tunsil.
Did you get a side eye emoji?
Maybe even a money bag there. Yeah. So
Penesul's run blocking different than Laramie Tunsil's run blocking.
Just different.
It's just different. It's not better or worse. It's just much different in a much better way.
It's just different. Yeah. So this is a physical team coming to town, man. It's a physical team that the analytics tell us are going to make the Dallas Cowboys game a little harder the following
all right,
week.
So this is Project Hate. Okay.
Yeah.
This is what we need to do between now and Thursday. Is it Friday's too late?
Yeah.
I gotta muster up some hatred for this damn Lions team.
Okay.
Come hell or high water, I'm gonna figure out a way to hate this powder blue team.
Yes.
But a bunch of nonsense.
Yes. Yeah. Oh man, you're right though. It's not.
I'm gonna have to bring Matt Patricia into it somehow.
Oh.
That was the last thing I hated about the Lions was when Matt Patricia was their head coach, and he almost ran over Landry Locker when he was riding his. The Lions came to practice, And Matt Patricia had torn his Achilles tendon in the offseason playing basketball. So he was riding around on a four-wheeler that was camo, of course, because he's Matt Patricia. He's got to be a tough guy. Riding his camo four-wheeler around NRG Stadium and acting like he owned the place with his stupid pencil and his stupid ear.
Do we have footage of him playing basketball, or is that what he said? He got. I mean, there's just as good a chance
I'm
he got it.
He was on spring break in Mexico, where he tends to get in trouble.
Or just running to the fridge for the last hoagie or something like that. You know what I mean? Hey, whoa! Sprinting by the guy.
Definitely, or to like to run out to his front porch to yell at some kids who are playing hockey in the streets or something. Yeah,
whip his pencil off his ear and throw it at him.
Shut up, you stupid kids!
Yeah. Matt Patricia as a head coach, that was a thing with this very Lions team, man. These are two teams that were not all that long ago in a really, really horrible place as a franchise. I will say that. This will not be – I don't think this is going to be billed by – like, we're playing a drinking game for Sunday and for the broadcast on TV. If it were before the season, I would have had preview of the Super Bowl, possible preview of the Super Bowl as one of the phrases that you would drink on in a drinking game. I don't think we're going to hear that based on how the Texans are playing right now on the offensive line. I think one of these two sides is holding up their end of the bargain. The Texans are not right now.
Yeah, and I think there's a couple things you want to see. One is, okay, whoever's playing left guard, boy, just a passable performance. Kind of like along the lines of what we saw from Ken Youngreen in the first game of the season. There's a lot of things to be really optimistic about. And there were some things to be concerned about, but the seesaw started tipping up towards the things that you need to be concerned about. And if they get passable offense, if they get passable left guard play, then they got a chance. The other side is, all right, this defense has been playing very, very well, but they allow some big plays on the back end. Can they become the team that shuts down this high-powered offense? It's one Sunday. It doesn't mean the Lions all of a sudden are a bad offense or anything. It's that the defense plays that well.
They got to tackle. There's a lot of catch and run that goes on between Jahmyr Gibbs and Amon-Ra St. Brown and Sam Laporta, the tight end. That's why Jared Goff's completion percentage is so high, because they're all dink and dunk that these guys are able to catch, make a guy miss, and get big chunks of yardage out of. They got
to
tackle.
Okay, good. All right. I'm starting to hate Jared Goff already for
that. Okay? Yes. All right. Okay.
These are fake stats.
Keep that energy.
Gotcha.
All right. A trade deadline conspiracy theory on the text page that I want to get to. And what are we watching today? This is a big day across all realms of society. What is your pie of TV viewing look like today and tonight? We'll talk about that coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast.
All right, trade deadline today, 3 p.m. I'm not expecting, just based on things that we've seen reported or things we're hearing or whatever, or past history, I guess, with Nick Caserio. He's not made many trade deadline deals at all. Mark Ingram, 2021, the notable exception. So I'm not expecting a ton of activity today, but we'll keep you up to speed here on Sports Radio 610 all day long. Text message to the 5-Hour Energy fan line. 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans. If Nick and D'Amico don't make a trade, then they definitely know it's a coaching problem, not a personnel problem.
It's juicy
right there.
Okay, so this is where I am, and I'm glad that we talked to Ross Tucker this morning, because I've been struggling with this myself, is that when you sit down and you break down the offensive line the faults in any given game, there's always, like it is with any offensive line, you're going to be able to find imperfect or bad reps out of every guy on the line. When you step back a little bit and look at the sum total of it all, a huge portion of the big issues are at left guard, obviously. We know that. But then even some of the offshoots of that and the protections that they have to call, et cetera, come down to left guard. So I think that there it's specifically a personnel issue. The rest of the offensive linemen have played well enough to be on any offensive line in the league. Like you would, including Juice Scruggs. I think if you put Juice Scruggs on an offensive line and he's got four competent offensive linemen on either side of him, I think you'd be okay. This is a young guy that's, you know, he's got some youth errors and there's some issues, but he's coming along. It's left guard where it's just been a nightmare, and that spreads out to everybody else. But there are also, so there's that. I just, left guard needs to be addressed. When it comes to the actual play calling, the offense, the way they operate, I mean, a lot of people, this isn't just, this isn't like, I'm not going to sit here and act like, oh, this is just people on Madden, or this is, this doesn't fly in the NFL. No, people are making very good points about, gosh, all right, if you're having trouble with a pass rush, how about a quick game? How about screens? All of this. They try to run screens. They're awful at it. They're just really bad at it. To me, that always goes back to the offensive coordinator. I feel like screens are some of the easiest things to sniff out and snuff out as a defense if they're poorly executed, if there's tells. If defenses are consistently sniffing out your screens, I feel like that's on the offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. The lack of options and answers for CJ early in the down at times, that's on the offensive coordinator. The fact that they took as long as they did to just really start to, because the running games got better, but at first it was just because Joe Mixon was back. I think the run blocking has actually improved though over the course of time, but it didn't happen fast enough. So yeah, all that goes back to Bobby Slowick and or Chris Strauss or the offensive line coach, but mostly Bobby Slowick. I mean, he's the, and then ultimately to D'Amico, who's got to be, look, you're a defensive minded head coach, but you are, which means that you are coaching your coordinators.
Yes.
And right now you're not doing a good enough job of coaching Bobby Slowick.
I think it's perfectly put. Absolutely. We talked about Nico Collins' injury, Will Anderson Jr., Jarrett Patterson. These are all guys who will get more clarity on their injuries, I suppose, when the injury report comes out. D'Amico was asked about, at the very least, was asked about Will Anderson and Nico Collins and said, we're going to monitor them this week. The reports on Nico Collins have largely been really, really good. Will Anderson Jr., we've heard nothing from anybody about how that ankle is doing right now, so we don't know anything. I mean, that may be just one of those things like, okay, just waiting to see what footage is coming from practice on Wednesday. Another one that's kind of a little like maybe below the radar a little bit because the run game has been so Mixon heavy is, I mean, Damian Pierce missed another game and you traded Cam Akers. You know, like your running back situation right now is Joe Mixon heavy, Daria Gumbawale because we trust him, and then call J.J. Taylor up from the practice squad. The Bengals just picked up Khalil Herbert for like a day three pick swap. Like picking up a veteran productive running back in a cheap, the cheap DVD bin at Walmart might not be a bad idea either today.
Honestly, and this is where I am. I said this during training camp. There were certain things the Texans were doing that I disagreed with, but I genuinely hoped I was wrong about. One of those was just having so much faith in Damian Pierce. Like, so far, and you can blame it on injuries or what have you, he's been nice as a kickoff returner, hasn't done much at all as a running back other than the one big play against the Patriots.
Yep.
That's come home to roost. Yep. I think that having Jalen Petrie cover really good receivers in the slot in man coverage, I didn't know. I honestly didn't believe that they were going to try that. And yet, there you have Devontae Adams running past him for a touchdown.
For a dagger touchdown.
That
put the game out of reach.
But the biggest thing that, as we got into the season, that now looking back on it, really is devastating to your decision-making right now, is that they gave Kenyon Green chance after chance after chance, after already having given him 2 years of chances, to the point where you did it, you ran it right up to the trade deadline, and you have no idea what you have with Jarrett Patterson as a guard.
That's right.
Or Kendrick Green as a guard. You've got a better, I mean, Kendrick Green was better as a guard last year than Kenyon Green was at any point this year. So at least you knew that a little bit. But so now you're sitting here at the trade deadline and you're just going to rerun the Kenyon Green experiment for the second half of the season. Okay. If we don't trade for a veteran guard, they're just going to find out what they have. And maybe it's good. Maybe it's just as bad as it was when under Kenyon Green. But you just don't know.
So you said Kenyon a bunch of times there. Who do you think is playing in the second half of the season? It sounded like you said they're going to play Kenyon Green in the second half of this. Did you mean?
Oh, no,
Ken-
no, I didn't
mean
Kendrick. That. I meant Kendrick.
Kendrick, yeah, because yeah, Kenyon is out for the season.
You can't have a Kenyon and a Kendrick.
Well, the good news is you're only going to have one of them in your life starting pretty soon here.
I think for me, if I were going to be a GM and operate the way GMs do, yeah. I would look at Jarrett Patterson and say, all right, look, he did, I think, better than a lot of people would have expected as a center last year. Yeah. He's built like a guard. He moves like a guard. I think he already, just in his one series, showed that he uses his hands better than Kenyon Green. And that's who I would probably give the opportunity. But I also know that Kendrick Green, when he got in there, he had some really rough snaps versus Quinnen Williams, but he hasn't had a full week to prepare as the starter at left guard. So I'm open to either of them. Yeah. Personally, I think Jarrett Patterson's more likely to be the guy.
Patterson was a guard at Notre Dame. Like, the center thing was off screen. He'd done both at Notre Dame, but he made his bones as a guard at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
So this is him playing his more natural position, if indeed that's the solution. Now, the scary thing is, it's a concussion. So who knows? And it was a concussion, and he was down for a while, too. You know, like, I hate to do that whole thing, like, degrees of concussion based on how long a guy's on the ground, but, like, it looked bad. What content-wise, what are you consuming here over the next 10 or 12 hours? Are you an election coverage guy? Are you going to be focused on the trade deadline? The college football rankings come out tonight at 6 o'clock?
That's no, great. I can't. I know the problem is, even as you try to look at polls and everything and then the interpretations of the polls and what matters and what doesn't matter and all this, it's just too much. I think I'm going to wait until I voted early and I'm just going to wait until maybe like 8 or 9 p.m. tonight to see what state the world is in.
Check in.
And where we all are at that. For my own mental health, I feel like I've done my jobs as a private citizen now just by voting, and we'll see.
I was trying to find not the last election, but the one before, the one where Trump won over Hillary. Amy and I went to the Adele concert that night at Toyota Center. And if you recall that election, like all day long during election day, it was like Hillary Clinton -900 to win the election. Yeah. And we went into the concert, and that's what it was. I was tracking it from a gambling standpoint. We went into the concert, and this is back in the days before there was good Wi-Fi at the Toyota Center. So you go to a concert, you don't use your phone for the next 4 hours. There's too many people in one place. So we had no cell service for the duration of the concert. And then the concert starts to let out around 10 or 10:30. And I come back to a bunch of push notifications about now Trump is -1,000. I'm like, how long were we in this concert for? Like, like, what year is it? It was crazy.
Yes, everybody, I understand, and I am under no illusions that, at 9 p.m., everybody is going to know and be in complete agreement about the way things are going to turn out over the next several weeks. But there's too much. I spend way too much these time. When I'm just trying to doom scroll and waste time, I end up spending way too much time, like, fact-checking, and then I got to go back and find out, wait a second, is there a community notes on this one? I can't do it.
I would say my excitement ratings for Election Day coverage is like a 2.5. I would say NFL trade deadline was like a 7 or an 8 before it became evident that the Texans are probably not going to do anything, and now it's like a 4. I'm actually excited for this first set of college football playoff rankings with the 12-team playoff. We've not seen these. You know, usually when they do it, it's been a 4-team playoff, so I'm kind of excited. I'm like an 8 on that tonight.
What time's that at?
That's at 6 on ESPN.
You think that's a good move or a weird move having it on election night?
They always do it on Tuesdays.
I feel like maybe you make an exception every 4 years.
I think it's a good move because I think you got people that are probably like, you know what? This allows me to escape.
Get the hell away from this for a little bit.
Yeah. Reggie, where are you on this?
On the college football playoff,
I'm excited
to see what the committee has in a polling that doesn't really matter until the last one. That's the thing that really gets to me.
Yeah.
As I'm going to continue to try and avoid your question, is that why are we doing these polls leading up? Because supposedly you're taking all of the resumes at the end of the season,
yeah.
and then ranking off of that. if you're doing this ranking continually, you're going to be, it's going to be hard to sell me on the idea that you're not taking a placard and moving it up and down as opposed to looking at a full resume at the end of the season.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
Like you're trying to confirm some of the things that you think throughout the process.
I mean, I think it's inherent. It's it's natural for you to think, well, I mean, we had them at seven earlier.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to we're looking at a full, you know, slate of resumes and this is the best one, this is the second best one, this is the third best one.
Yeah.
But I know why we do it. We do it for TV.
Content, yeah.
But
sure.
it's
well,
not
you know
good
what it is
surf.
Though. You know what too, Reggie? It's that you almost you feel like at times they're almost jockeying around with the ratings so that they can have a specific game make the decision for them.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, so like, oh, okay, well, these two teams play each other in 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Let's, okay, if we put this one here and then this one there, then it'll be easier to make the decision.
You're creating.
So it doesn't feel like a genuine, and maybe that's just me reading way too much into it.
Not
it doesn't
right.
feel like it's a genuine ranking.
I have no, but this is the first time we're doing it with 12.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm intrigued by it. Like, this is the first
more
one
opportunities
we're doing
to get it wrong.
With 12. Yeah, just to see, well, just to see, like, what. You know, who's the, I'm sure the group of five team is going to be Boise State. How do they see all the potential conference champions? And I know you're a big
Ash and Jenty,
Ash and Jenty guy, yeah. Are you sad that your Aggies probably are not going to be in this 12 team thing when it pops
no,
up tonight?
I actually that's one of my big points on this whole thing is it sucks me in every single time and I shouldn't even be watching it.
Right.
Shouldn't even be watching it.
Yeah.
But I will.
I totally will. Yeah.
It's early, man. The Aggies will be number 1 in no time.
In no time. What they still have the equity to get in there, right? On their
schedule.
Yeah. Like their South Carolina loss wasn't a season.
Five teams are tied for first place in the SEC.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So one loss, and they got Texas at the end.
See, my team's an independent. I don't pay attention to any of these
that's
trivial conference things.
Yeah, that's a mark against them, by the way.
Says
a mark
you.
Against them.
Says you. How we feeling? How we feeling? Trade deadline today, fellas.
Well, ain't great. I'm not feeling great.
Are you going to be mad if they just don't do anything? Like, is it okay? What will anger you the most?
I put distraught. Is that mad? That's pretty mad.
Yeah, it's a version of anger.
Is that your anger can spring forth from being distraught?
Yes.
I put down that I would be distraught and would not understand it.
Okay.
Oh. You know what, Lopez? I'm glad you mentioned that in trying to really pin down your emotion.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading something by Brené Brown, Houston legend, Brené Brown, about how one of the reasons that sometimes people have a very limited emotional vocabulary, they tend to, for the most part, describe their feelings as either angry, happy, or sad. And like maybe one or two others. But a lot of times you can get to know yourself a lot better just by having a better emotional vocabulary.
Because I'm not mad, but I am distraught.
You're distraught.
Yeah.
Okay.
So good job. Good job.
You're
way more womanlike than I gave you credit for.
It's like you used words for a living.
He's melancholy.
Yeah. Melancholy is a good one.
Now that's a different than distraught.
Morose.
We've gone on for hours on this. That's all I was doing.
Despondent.
Despondent is different too.
Yeah, despondent is different. So what about you, Reggie? If they don't make a deal.
Pick a good word. You better pick a good word.
What are your emotions going to be? Can't use angry, sad,
or happy.
Mad, or happy.
Nonplussed.
That's really not much of any. That's just kind of
That's right. I think we begin to get into. I haven't fully examined that. I think we'll do that in this first segment and really get to the depths of it. I thought that I had, but then you started asking the question. I was like, I actually haven't probed.
Okay.
As far as I thought
you
I would.
You got 4 hours to figure it out.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yep. Or maybe a trade comes down and all of a sudden it's jubilant.
Yes.
You're jubilant.
Look at you.
Yeah, thanks.
Disillusion came in on the YouTube. I like where this is going.
Ooh, disillusioned. That might be right. Like, oh, Nick isn't all that I thought he was. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If a trade comes in, I'm going to be inspired.
Inspired. Yeah. You will not be irate.
Thank you. You know what? The listener that nailed it with disillusioned, they just made Payne and Pendergast 100% better.
Thank you.
You'll never hear me say I'm angry about something again.
Disillusioned.
I'm gonna pin it down and say the exact right thing.
Well, half the time, I think you're also flabbergasted.
That happens. Flabbergastation. Seth, antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies and judgmental embarrassment to you as well.
Thank you.
I hope to not be revolted and nauseated tomorrow.
Seth throws his thesaurus at the camera to punctuate it. All right, we're done. We're out of time.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.